studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam. I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. In the studios with me is Brother Siddhartha, lecturer, Department of English, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanthi Nilayam campus, and also a member of the Prashanthi Mandir Bhajan group as a singer for close to a decade. Siddhartha had his first darshan of Swami in the early 90s, and because of his love for bhajans, he later joined the Sundaram Bhajan group and got the golden opportunity to sing in front of our beloved Bhagwan in the year 2004. He went on to join the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanthi Nilayam campus in the year 2006 for the MBA program, and in the same year got permission from Swami to sing bhajans in the Divine Presence. And during the course of this conversation, you'll be listening to some beautiful bhajans sung by Brother Siddhartha from the album Nada Brahmam, produced by the Sri Sathya Sai Media Division. So with that short introduction, Brother Siddhartha, welcome to Love to Love.
Saram Chandu Vijay. Thank you so much for having me over at the studios this afternoon.
So let's begin this conversation by talking about how you and your family came to Swami's fold in the first place.
Okay. Well, from what I've heard from my mother, she had her first darshan of Swami when she was in class 8. And this is inside the IIT campus. And Swami had just... Swami's car just drove past her, and he slowed down, he rolled down the window, and he waved out to her and blessed her. And she was an excited girl who came back home and told her mother in turn, saying that, you know whom I saw at school today? I saw Sai Baba. And they had a neighbor, my grandparents had a neighbor, who gave them the first picture of Swami, which has ever since remained in our altar. And thereafter there was sort of a lull where Swami was not so... He had just knocked on the door and he hadn't yet barged in and made his entry.
Okay.
So I think if I remember right, sometime in the year 95, my mother and me accompanied the parents of one of Swami's ex-students, an MBA alumnus by name CDK Sai Narayan. And his parents brought my mother and me to Prashanthi Nilayam for our first darshan of Bhagwan. Of course, my memories of Patti is very scanty because I must have been class 4 or class 5. But yes, that was the beginning of our tryst with Swami. And thereafter, for the next 6-7 years, Prashanthi Nilayam was one of those check boxes in our annual pilgrimages. So we would go to Tirupati and we would come to Prashanthi Nilayam. And it was much later that we realized that we could even come to Vrindavan to have darshan, because we were not so acquainted with the ways of Swami. And of course, my mom did have a couple of darshans at Sundaram in the early 80s when my brother was a little boy. So our regular visits to Prashanthi Nilayam started only in the late 90s.
Okay.
And of course, even then, we didn't know that there was something like a university. We didn't know that there was something called bhajans, because if I remember my early darshans, now when I read the books, I remember how after Swami used to give his darshan, people used to get up and go. And that was the breakfast time for a lot of people, right?
Okay.
And Swami would come back out again for the bhajans. But I think I would never end... I don't remember having sat for the bhajans, because everybody would get up and go out and I would just follow them.
Okay.
Because I thought darshan was over.
Okay, okay.
So it was in the year 2001 when a cousin of mine, he had studied in the Vrindavan campus and he was a mandir singer from the Vrindavan campus. And I was all the typical rebellious adolescent at that stage of my life. And he had come to probably talk to me a little bit about Swami and try to get me acquainted with Swami and his ways. He gave me a cassette which had about 10-12 bhajans, Prashanthi Mandir bhajans, which they had recorded of using a Walkman in those days.
Okay.
And he gave me the cassette and he said, just listen to this. I can't describe what it was, and it's something that we've all experienced.
And it is the first time you're listening to bhajans in your life.
Yes, the first time that I can recall listening to bhajans. It was mesmerizing, to say the least. The genre of music was very captivating. There's something very soulful in that music. And more than anything else, there was a voice which was simply out of the world. I can't pin down what it is about the voice, but it's a voice that we have all heard. It's a voice that we all love, we all adore. And of course, it's a voice that Swami himself could never tire of hearing. I don't need to, you know, stretch it any longer. It was a collection of bhajans sung by Brother Ravi Kumar.
Yes.
And I just fell in love with it. And I used to listen to that cassette every day over and again. Sometimes till I fell asleep, it would just keep playing. And I slowly started singing what I could hear come out from the speakers.
You know, when you were a child, of course, at that age, I'm sure you would have been listening to a lot of Tamil movie music.
Definitely.
So what do you think actually attracted you to this recording? I mean, it is not even like a proper studio recording.
Yes.
I mean, compared to, and there are no powerful beats and there is no such kind of music. What do you think attracted you at that age, especially at that age, to bhajans?
I don't know, Chandu. Really speaking, all that I know that is that it just went straight to my heart.
I guess bhajan speaks to heart.
Yes. So it just went directly to my heart and I just fell in love with it instantly. It was like almost that thing that you could never remember. And then suddenly you realize that this is what I was looking for.
Okay.
Almost, you know, okay. It's as dramatic as it sounds. That's how it happened. And I realize, and I don't come from a family of musicians.
Okay.
My grandmother sings a little bit, but I'm not trained in music by any stretch of imagination. So when I started singing, it was more out of imitation. I started imitating whatever that person in that
cassette
was doing. And one thing led to another, and I investigated a little more about who that was from my cousin, and he had only 12 songs and that was not enough.
Okay.
How long could you keep listening to the same 12 songs? And that was when this World Space receiver was launched for Radio Sai.
Okay.
You know, remember?
2001. Yes, correct.
So we had a World Space set at home.
Okay.
I would connect it to the computer every day in the morning, and they had a 6:30 to 7 slot of Prashanti Mandir bhajans.
Okay.
In the morning. And the same used to be telecast again between 2:30 and 3 in the afternoon.
Okay.
It was that cycle.
Okay.
So I would get up religiously every morning, connect it to the computer, and record that half an hour of Mandir bhajans, and pick out only the songs of that voice.
Okay.
And cut all of them, just chip that song out, and I have a collection of more than 150 bhajans of Ravi sir from what was played on Radio Sai.
Actually, when you joined the university much later,
yes,
I'm just fast forwarding now, somebody told me that now here is a boy who joined this year and he's a big fan of Brother Ravi who sings here, and he has a collection of all the songs and bhajans Ravi Kumar has sung in his life. Is that true?
Well, I can only say that collection is still expanding. It's still growing.
Okay.
But yes, for someone who's not part of the system, who was not here, I probably had one of the largest private collections of Ravi sir's bhajans. So then I started listening to bhajans, and then I found that there was apparently something called a samiti, which have bhajans.
Before we go to that, can you sing one or two bhajans that were there in that cassette, the private collection that you had in the first place?
In that, okay.
रघुकुल भूषण राजीव नयना ईश्वर बनंदन सत्य साई रामा जानकी वल्लभ लावण्य रामा निरुपम सुंदर सुगुणाभिरामा प्रशांति निलया पावन धामा जय जय रामा प्रभु साई रामा जय जय रामा प्रभु साई रामा रघुकुल भूषण राजीव नयना.
Dear listeners, in the studios with me is Brother Siddhartha, a lecturer in the Department of English, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanti Nilayam campus, and also a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group as a singer for close to a decade. We'll be right back with more conversation with Brother Siddhartha and right after this first break. In the studios with me is Brother Siddhartha, a singer of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group for close to a decade. And today we are having a conversation about his journey with Sai and music. And the bhajan that you just heard is one of the bhajans that Brother Siddhartha shared with me. And this is from his collection, the first collection of the bhajans by Brother Ravi Kumar that was given to him by another Sai brother. And this is the cassette from which he started actually learning bhajans. And this is the cassette by listening to, he fell in love with bhajans. So Brother Siddhartha, you are talking about how you fell in love with bhajans after listening to this particular cassette of bhajans, and then so let's continue from there now.
Yeah, so like I was saying, so I fell in love with this particular genre of music, and someone told me that you can attend bhajans in the local samiti, which was close to our place.
Then. Did you know that there was something called samiti?
No.
Nothing?
No.
You have no idea?
We only knew that there was Swami's residence in Chennai was Sundaram.
Okay.
We didn't even know that there were regular bhajans in Sundaram. You know, pretty far removed from okay. all the regular
yeah,
schedule which we today we follow so blindly. So I started going to this samiti more out of eagerness to learn more bhajans, because every day everybody was singing something that was new to me. So, in fact, recently I attended a house bhajan a couple of weeks ago, and during the house bhajan I was just recalling how I began.
Okay.
When I used to go to about 8 or 9 different bhajans in 1 week.
Wow.
Every evening, without fail, I would go for a bhajan in somebody's house. And if there were 2 bhajans, I wouldn't mind, because for me it's a chance to, more than singing, it's a chance to learn new bhajans.
I'm sure this is something that you got from your previous birth.
I don't think you can really explain it logically.
your love for bhajans.
Well, I just think it's the grace of God. If He decides to make you worthy, like how He can make the lame walk, He can
yes.
make the deaf hear, He
okay.
can make the speaking sing. So then as I was attending these bhajans and learning what it really meant, how it ends up being a very nice medium for you to connect to Swami. I started reading Sai literature.
Okay.
I was learning more about Swami's life through books. So I think since I have not had the opportunity to be so physically close to Swami for the large part of my life, I didn't have the proximity. But definitely, even when I came to Swami, I had that kind of a background because of the kind of literature on Him that I had read.
It's amazing that without anybody telling you, you were already on a very transformative journey. You didn't attend Bal Vikas, nobody told you about anything. Just by listening to bhajans, it had such a transformative effect on your life.
Really, totally.
It's amazing.
And it was around this time that during one of my visits to Prashantinilayam, of one of our friends from Chennai, who was a student here at that time, he said that he would introduce me to Mr. Ravi Kumar.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't think I've been as eager for darshan as I was that evening. And I was standing opposite to the exit gate, gents exit gate, and I was on the side of East Prashanti, and I was waiting, and here he was. I mean, you've only heard him, right? For years together, you've only heard him, and a lot of people don't know what he looks like. Today, if you YouTube, you can see, you know, so many programs where he sung and so on. But back in the days, it wasn't so.
Correct.
So I had so many different images of you know, Ravi Kumar sir as I was expecting to meet him.
Did it match the image in your head and the actual person?
I don't recall, but I just know that I was floored with his simplicity, his humility. And he's such a warm person at heart. And he very sweetly spoke to me. And today, even today, Chandu, I must have met him something like 15 years ago. And to this day, when after bhajans, when I walk out with him, out of Kulwant Hall, every now and then there will be someone who will be waiting there to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Someone from some part of the world, bhajan singer or just a devotee of Swami who's been like me, who's just been listening to him. And I could see that he's doing the same thing to them what he did to me 15 years ago.
Wow.
What I'm trying to say is, it's not... I don't think he would like the word fans.
Mm, yes,
right?
Yes.
He just calls them brothers. But the kind, I don't think it comes that naturally for someone who's adored so much by so many people to be so simple.
Yes, very
and
true.
And he was so nice to me. He would call me to his room. And I used to tell him, you know, in all my ignorance, I used to tell him that, you know, I have recorded all your bhajans, I listen to your bhajans. Which even today, that's what people tell him. You know, back in the day, I was thinking I was the only guy who used to do that. But I know that so many people have come closer to Swami through his voice.
Yes.
Because his connect to Swami, he's a breed apart, right? So he would take me to his room and he would make me sing and he would give me tips. He would tell me how to practice, what to practice, and very, very nicely spend time with me. And like I was saying, when I look back, how much I must have troubled him then. And today, when I apologize to him saying, you know, I've given you so much trouble. How did you put up with all of that? And he says, no, you were so sincere. And I couldn't just, you know, brush that away. You're so sincere to learn. So I had this long distance learning going on, correspondence program going on between me and him. And,
you know, let me ask this. Did you ever, even in your wildest of imaginations, ever imagine that you would one day be sitting in Sai Kulwant Hall singing with Brother Ravi Kumar?
No way. Absolutely no way. In fact, if I was, I would have been so happy if, when I joined the bhajan group, again, we're jumping.
Yes, ahead. Let's fast forward a bit.
Yeah. But when I joined the bhajan group, I remember I used to be so thrilled if I had the follow mic when he was singing.
Okay.
Because there used to be only one or two follow mics.
Yes.
So my day was made if Ravi sir was singing and Swami was in bhajan hall and I had the follow mic. And what more can you ask of life? And to think that, yes, I keep telling myself that, you know, it's a huge blessing from Swami to have brought me that close to him, for me to sit next to him and sit and sing with him. And to this day I learn, when I sing with him, I learn so much about how you can make bhajan singing such a lovely experience for yourself and thereby make it the best offering you can give to God.
Wonderful.
So,
great. So now let's rewind a bit.
Okay.
So you are done, you are singing in the Samatis, you are attending a lot of bhajans.
Yes.
So how did you come to be a part of the Sundaram Bhajan group?
This was around 2003, 2004, when another alumni of our university, who was also a singer, he came home, he's a family friend, he came home and he heard me sing and he said, you know, all this is fine, but you should, there's so much more you can learn. I will put you in touch with one gentleman, A.K. Kumar,
okay,
who's in charge of a particular samiti and he's also a very senior member in the Sundaram Bhajan group. And if you join his samiti, you will be in the company of youngsters who sing a lot. So why don't you join that samiti? So I joined that samiti. It was a little away from home, but I took the effort because it opened up a new door for me. And it was Kumar sir who taught me the basics of music. Because as much as Ravi sir and me were having this going on, he taught me what is Shruti, you know, how to keep Shruti in the harmonium, what is a major chord, what is a minor chord, what are chords, how can you use the harmonium when you sing. And these are things which were completely alien to me. And like I said, I've not been trained at all. Even my sense of pitch, if I sing higher notes today, it is probably, or rather only because I was singing in the same scale that Ravi sir was singing.
Okay.
In the cassettes.
Oh, okay.
So I guess I naturally ended up having the higher notes. But my lower notes are not so strong, you know, because also probably because I was not formally, you know, trained in knowing how to do your voice culture.
Yes, yes.
Of sorts. So this okay. Kumar sir, he picked me up and he taught me a lot of these details of music. And in 2004, when the Sundaram Bhajan group was performing for the Tamil New Year's Day program in Whitefield, I was selected as one of those singers.
Okay.
And at that point, or probably a little before that, my only goal was to sing once in front of Swami. Just once. That's all I would pray to him. You know, just give me that chance to sing in front of you once. And it happened in 2004 during the Tamil New Year's Day program. I sang a Kavali.
This was in Kodaikanal?
This was in Whitefield.
Whitefield.
In 2004.
Okay.
Then it was around the same time that my brother was doing his MBA here in Prashantinilayam. So when he would write back home and he would come back home, he would tell me how, you know, you should study in Swami's institute because students get to sing bhajans every day in front of him. That was the clincher.
Now, yeah. Is this the program in which you all performed on the stage?
Because that was 2003.
That was 2003?
I was not part of that program.
Okay, okay.
This is the
okay.
next year, 2004.
Next year, okay.
So when my brother was studying here, I was very actively involved in theatre as well in Chennai. Because I was doing my BA English Literature. I had a lot of time in the evenings where I would spend it doing some professional plays with some theatre groups in Chennai, active theatre groups in Chennai. So he would tell me that, you know, if you come to Swami's Institute, you can sing, you can act, you can speak. And, you know, so the cultural aspect of Sri Satyasai Sri Higher Learning was a huge plus point for me wanting to apply here. And the only option I had to apply here was MBA. They didn't have an MA English program.
Yes.
So I applied for my MBA. And I remember in 2006, Swami came to Patti from Vrindavan on the 7th of June. And his first darshan where he came and sat outside you know, when students, he was just, first couple of days he was directly going into the bhajan hall. The first time he came and sat outside was on the 10th.
Okay.
And by then I had my approval from Shailesh sir, the bhajan in charge, that I could ask Swami for permission to sing. So on the 10th of June, I sat with a letter and Swami called and he asked me, and rather I asked him, and he said, very happy, go and sing. So I think on the 15th of June 2006 is when I was officially stamped as a mandir bhajan singer.
So that is when you sang your first bhajan in front of Swami.
First bhajan in front of Swami.
And which was that bhajan?
It was Hey Sai Jagannatha.
Would you care to sing a few lines?
Sure.
Hey Sai Jagannatha, Hey Sai Jagannatha, Hey Sai Jagannatha, Deena Bandhu Sainatha, Karuna Sindhu Jagannatha, Hey Sai Jagannatha, Hey Sai Jagannatha, Hey Shirdi Jagannatha, Hey Parthi Jagannatha, Hey Sai Jagannatha.
Dear listeners, in the studios with me is Brother Siddharth Raju, a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group as a singer for close to a decade. And today we are having a conversation about his journey with Sai and music, and we'll be right back after this musical break.
Govinda Hare, Gopal Hare,
Govinda Hare, Gopal Hare,
Govinda Hare, Gopal Hare,
Govinda Hare, Gopal Hare,
Govinda Hare, Avatar Hare,
Govinda Hare,
hare ko pal hare
Welcome back, dear listeners. In the studios with me is Brother Siddhartha, a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan Group and a lecturer in the Department of English, Sri Satisai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanti Nilayam Campus. And today we are having a conversation about his journey with Sai and music. So Brother Siddhartha, so you, just before we broke for the musical break, you were talking about how you got the opportunity to sing in front of Swami as a student for the first time. So let's continue from there.
So, like I was saying, a huge responsibility once you become a Mandir Bhajan singer.
Yes.
And when I was a student in 2006, there were so many singers amongst the students. The total number of Mandir singers should have come to something around 35, 36 across all the batches of students. And so therefore we would all get our turns only once in a week. And believe it or not, I used to sing on Tuesdays, every Tuesday, all through my first year.
Okay.
My timetable was Tuesdays, and nothing before the 6th or 7th bhajan
okay.
would be slotted for you, because there are so many other senior singers in the lineup. And so you're a late order batsman,
okay.
pinch hitter types. And Swami would have to sit till those many bhajans, till your bhajan. And if he didn't, then you get your turn only the next week,
yes.
So I remember it took me exactly 1 year to sing 50 bhajans in front of Swami.
Okay.
It was sometime in April of 2007 that I finished 50 bhajans in front
okay.
of Swami.
So you kept a count of that?
Yeah, I kept a count of all the bhajans I've sung in front of Swami.
Wow, okay.
So, but you know, today when we have these students who join the bhajan group today, even today, Prashanti Nilayam Bhajan Group is definitely, has a pride of place.
Yes.
For all devotees
yes.
across the world.
Yes.
So, and no doubt we have very good quality singers. But somehow I feel that, you know, today's singers don't appreciate the value of how many chances they get to sing in front of Swami.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we see in the bhajans, at bhajans, that some students, they feel that, oh, okay, today maybe I can just skip today, I can go tomorrow. Anyway, I can sing tomorrow.
Yes,
you know, that attitude, it really hurts, because if you knew how badly you had to stand there and you know, push your way through and shove your way through to put your mat somewhere in bhajan hall, some little bit of marble if you find, you know, you put your mat and sit there with the bhajan group. Such an exalted position to have, you know, to be a Mandir Bhajan group singer. And because it's a stamp that comes with you for life. You know, even
yes.
after you pass out, and if you tell people that you used to sing in Mandir, they look up to you.
Yes.
Anywhere in the world. So,
And let's not forget, it was such a cramped, the way we all used to sit.
Yeah.
I mean, our legs would pain, but there would be no place to move your leg, you know, and Swami would be sitting right there. If you move your leg, sometimes Swami would give you a stare. You had to suffer through all that.
Yeah. Of course, it was all worth it. When
yes,
that half
course.
An hour of 30-35 minutes of bhajans, you used to forget all your pains and all
yes.
your discomforts.
True.
So, I used to sing once a week. And somewhere in 2007, towards Dashara, Swami started this concept of pair singing.
Okay.
And it's a very significant event in the history of Prashanti Nilayam, Mandir Bhajans. Apparently the reason was, the apparent reason Swami gave was that I'm not able to hear
okay.
if one boy is singing. He said, I think there was one particular singer who was singing who was not loud enough. Swami
okay.
couldn't hear him.
Fine.
So
okay.
Swami said, why don't two of you start singing?
Okay.
And Swami said, let boys sing in pairs.
Okay.
So I think there are two things that happened. He might have achieved many things with that. But one was this, the number of boys who had to get chances came down to half, because now you're singing in pairs.
Yes, yes.
So the number of singers are now down to half.
I think at that point of time there were close to 30 singers.
35.
Yeah, 35
singers.
See, man.
At any point of time they were above 30.
Okay.
So it came down to now 15 pairs.
Okay.
So
yeah,
it's a huge
yes.
issue of, you know, your chances
yes.
doubled in a week.
Yes.
And I think when we moved to pair singing, your individual identity, you're supposed to lose it.
Yes.
You know, there's
true.
No more my voice.
Yes.
There's no more who's that singer, who's singing, you know, all that stopped with that.
Yes.
And you have to practice, because you're singing with somebody else. it puts so much impetus on you to practice before you come for bhajans.
Yes.
And so those are a lot of, you know, ancillary things which Swami achieved. He ensured that boys were practicing. He ensured the boys were you didn't have that, the ego in you was not growing, saying that, you know, I'm a good singer or I'm a great singer. Because people will come and tell you.
Yes.
You know, today you sang very well. Because they can identify your voice.
Yes.
But when you're singing in pairs, it hardly ever happens.
Yes.
You speculate. So you really can't say for sure who's singing with whom. So that happened in 2007. And I had a partner from my batch, a primary school student by name Preeti Ranjan. And both of us used to hit these high notes.
High notes, yeah.
So Preeti is also notoriously famous for singing high notes. And so we decided that, okay, we both can make a good pair because we can sing bhajans in higher scale. So we started singing together. And even today, you know, when I come for bhajans, you recall all those wonderful moments that we shared with him in Kulwanthal with Swami.
Yes.
And
you know, you have sung so many bhajans in front of Swami. Of course, you have a count of that. Now, I'm sure you would have had few beautiful experiences while singing these bhajans. Would you care to narrate some?
So many.
Okay.
So I'll... Okay, one that comes to my mind is, I remember one evening we were seated outside and I was sitting in the first row and we were singing this bhajan. Sai Ra Sai Sham Mere Sai Ra.
It's a beautiful bhajan.
Mere Sai Mere Baba Mere Pran Nath Ram. So this is going on. And you know the next line. Tere Dwar Pe Me Aao Mujhe Shanti Do Bhagwan. So I had this habit of having my eyes open and looking at Swami when I used to sing.
Okay.
Because you know for sure that that's a moment when Swami is always looking out to see who the singer is.
Yes.
So it's a very high chance of an eye-to-eye contact with him. And I would never want to miss that for the world. So I always used to have my eyes open and look at Swami. Of course, different people have different views. Some get very worked up when they see Swami looking at them, so they prefer shutting their eyes. But for me, if you can get that one moment of eye-to-eye contact, it's at that time when you're singing. And he's looking out to spot who the singer is. So in that intention, I had my eyes open and I was looking at Swami. And Swami, of course, Swami was also looking at me and I was right there under his nose, the first row. Just as I finished this line, Chandu. Tere dwar pe me aao, mujhe shanti do bhagwan. Swami looked at me. He smiled and he nodded. You know, as if I was not, I mean, I was not consciously praying, saying, you know, give me peace.
Yes.
But for him, it's an eternal conversation that you're having with him. So the moment I finished saying, Shanti Do Bhagwan, he immediately responded and he smiled and he gave a nod and said, yes, I will. I'm bound to give it to you.
Wonderful.
And it just, because of the spontaneity with which he did it, and I suddenly realized, oh my God, what has he just agreed to? He just agreed to give me peace. Wow. And I was just so taken aback. And even, you know, I just close my eyes and think of that moment when he just looked straight into my eye and he smiled and he said, yes, I'm bound to give it to you.
People search for peace throughout their life. This is not fair that you got it in that second. This is too much.
God gives you the highest of the best of things when you least expect it.
I know.
So,
Sai Ram Sai Sham is such a beautiful bhajan. Maybe we should take a musical break right now and listen to that bhajan. And this bhajan is in the voice of Brother Ravi Kumar.
Sai Ram Sai Sham Mere Sai Ram.
Sai Ram Sai Sham Mere Sai Ram.
साई मेरे बाबा मेरे प्राण नाथ
राई मेरे बाबा मेरे प्राण नाथ राई
मेरे साई मेरे बाबा मेरे प्राण नाथ
राई मेरे बाबा मेरे प्राण नाथ राई
साई राम साई श्याम मेरे साई
Amen.
श्याम मेरे साईरा।
Welcome back, dear listeners. In the studios with me today is Brother Siddhartha, a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group. And today we are having a conversation about his journey with Sai and music. So Brother Siddhartha, as a student, you had the golden opportunity of going to Kodaikanal with Swami. It is an opportunity like every student craves for and very few are bestowed upon with. So let's talk about that experience. How was your Kodai trip with Swami?
Talking about this opportunity or a chance.
Yes.
Before I joined Prashanti Nilayam as a student, I had an opportunity to interact with one of our alumni by name Balaramachandran.
Yes.
And I distinctly remember him telling me, he said that, brother, definitely one of the highest points of a student's life is to travel with Swami.
Yes.
But just remember this, it's not something that we can do anything about. He said it should have been written even before you were born,
okay,
whether you're going to go with Swami to Kodaikanal or not. So, of course, that doesn't stop us from making our efforts, praying to Swami, hoping that, you know, that prayer, that boon has been bestowed on you. You just hope that if something can be rewritten, tweaked somewhere, it can still happen now. So in 2009, I was picked in my final year of my MBA, after my MBA, I was picked to go with Swami to Kodaikanal. And firstly, Kodaikanal is a whole new world, even for students who supposedly spend a lot of time with, you know, having Swami's proximity. Because in Kodaikanal, there's nothing else but Swami.
Yes.
And the proximity you have with him is astounding, and it's very unnerving because you're not used to having that kind of proximity. At least for someone like me who. Yes, as a student, I've had a lot of chances to interact with Swami and all of that. But Kodai is a whole new ball game altogether.
Yes.
It's different even for students of Swami. And your life revolves around Swami. And He is all for you. And you are all that is there for Him. You know, He spends His whole day with the boys. From morning to evening, He spends, except for the few hours that He takes off in the afternoon, He rests for a while. More so, I think he takes off that while so that we get some rest.
Yes.
You know, after a heavy lunch, he would ask us to sleep for some time. So the whole day goes with Swami. And it's very different, Chandu, for someone like me who was a rank outsider. Like I told you, here I was in 2001. I didn't know about bhajan till 2001. And 2009, I'm going with Swami to Kodaikanal. It's a huge jump for me. And a lot of things that I could never quite get accustomed to, which, because you don't read about such things, you know,
yes,
when you read Sai literature. For example, I'm giving you some very crazy examples. One is you have, the students of Swami have two places to sleep in the night.
Yes.
Where you can spread your sleeping bags out. One is the hall in the ground floor, and the other is a landing area outside Swami's bedroom in the first floor.
Okay.
Okay, and very few can sleep in that landing space because it's a small area, small room. So probably 6-7 of us could sleep there at any given point.
So you would take turns to do that?
The idea is you can take turns.
Okay.
But there was only one rule.
Yes.
That you should not snore.
Okay.
Because if you snore, the other side of the door is Swami's room.
Yes.
And you can't take the chance of you know, disturbing Swami.
Yes.
And the ground floor hall would be packed, you know, like literally like these, it's so tightly packed. They say a tin of sardines, say, right? It's packed like that. So if you go up and if by chance you end up snoring and then you are asked to go down, you come down, there's no chance you're going to find a place for yourself. You're likely to be asked to sleep in the bhajan hall, which is outside Sai Shruti.
Okay.
Right? So I never took the chance of sleeping outside Swami's room.
Okay.
I don't know whether I snore or not, but I definitely don't want to have a litmus test by sleeping outside his door and getting woken up in the middle of the night and saying, get out, you're snoring.
Okay.
So that for me was I was very contented sleeping beneath Swami's room. I said, okay, Swami's right above me.
Yes.
That's good enough for me.
Okay.
Another very unique thing, not unique, I mean, it's very different for someone like me, is the room inside the hall during the day, it's not pin drop silence. It's deafening silence.
Okay.
You know, if Swami is not talking,
yes,
this absolute silence, it's so loud, that silence, it's all in your head. And this was the first day or the second day. I'm remembering, I'm sitting there, Swami is talking. There is some noise that I'm able to hear.
Okay.
And that noise is distracting and disturbing me. But I'm wondering, this is not a noise that we are used to hearing around Swami.
Okay.
Right? I don't know what this is. That is, there's something that's there in the air. We don't ever hear it in Swami's presence. Can you guess what it was?
The sound of your breathing or something?
No.
No, okay. It's too much. The air condition? The fan?
No. Kodaikanal, where air condition?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. I won't stretch you any further.
Okay.
It was the cooker whistle going off.
Oh.
From the kitchen.
Okay.
Now, I have never been in an environment where you hear the cooker whistle and Swami is right in front of you.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
You just don't put these two things together. So like that, Kodai opens up your eyes and ears to different aspects.
Why? The kitchen is close to the hall where
the kitchen is attached to the dining area, which has an entrance from the hall.
Okay, okay.
So you could hear it.
Okay.
You know, you could very clearly hear it at 10 o'clock, the cooker would go off.
Okay.
You know that lunch, Swami's lunch is getting ready. So these were some things that, you know, were very different for me. It was definitely a different experience. Though you might have heard people who have gone to Kodai trips on multiple occasions, they'll all tell you that every Kodai trip is different.
Yes.
They said every year or every time Swami has gone to Kodai, he has done different things, he has said different things, he has shown different things, he has been different things, and you know, so they say every trip is different. But as much as the trips might have been different, no Chandu, I felt that Swami was the same. Because I have read that once in Kodaikanal, one of the students fell sick. Okay, and he didn't come down for, he was sleeping upstairs and he didn't come down for the session. And Swami had asked where he was.
Yes.
And Swami was told that he has fever and that he was sleeping upstairs. And when everybody broke for dinner, I believe Swami went to the kitchen. He made a glass of coffee.
Swami himself?
Yes. And he took it himself upstairs to that room, sat next to the boy in the bed, gave him coffee, and just inquired how he was doing and said, I know you can't come down when everybody is there and for the session, I know you're not feeling well. That's why I just thought I'll come up and see you.
Okay.
Right? Now, this is something they said happened sometime in the 80s or 90s maybe. I'm not too sure.
Yes.
But why I'm saying that Swami is no different regardless of what happened to him physically. If his health wasn't so-called cooperating with whatever. You know, they say that Swami was not in the best of his health.
Yes.
But he didn't change one bit. That aspect of his love, his pure unsullied love was just the same. And this is one incident which happened in Kodaikanal the year I went. One of our brothers had fallen sick and he skipped the bhajan sessions which were in the bhajan hall. So we were, after the bhajans, we came into the inner room of Swami's residence and we were all seated around. Swami noticed that somebody came from the first floor. Swami noticed him come down the staircase and sit at the far end of the hall. So Swami asked, who is that? Where is he coming from? So one of the brothers responded saying, Swami, he was unwell. He was sleeping upstairs. He's just woken up, freshened up, and he's come down. Swami sent word for him. Swami asked him to come forward. And this boy came forward. His name is Amrit. He was studying in Vrindavan at the time.
Okay.
And Swami asked him, what happened? And he said, Swami, I have fever. Swami asked him to, you know, stretch his hand. Swami held his wrist for pulse.
Okay.
Okay. For a good 30-40 seconds.
Okay.
Okay. For a good 30-40 seconds, Swami is holding his pulse. And then there's nothing. Nobody's saying anything. Nobody's talking anything. We just, you're awestruck at that moment. How casually he just, you know, extended, Swami extended his hand and caught hold of this guy's wrist and checking his pulse. And Swami said, yeah, you're having fever. It should be about 102 or 103. Don't worry, it'll come down. Nothing to worry. You don't have anything for dinner.
Okay.
You just have buttermilk and banana. Don't eat anything else for dinner. Okay? Sit. This boy came back and sat. But it didn't end there. So we are having dinner with Swami. Swami, after he finished his dinner, which is almost in a, you know, flash of a second, he's done with his dinner. He went around the tables. He spotted this boy and ensured that he was not eating anything else except for buttermilk and banana.
Okay.
And checked with him. He said, are you eating banana? Okay, how much buttermilk did you have? Take another glass. Don't worry, tomorrow you'll be fine. And went on. Now just tell me what has changed. Whether you went in 87 or whether you went in 2009.
Yes, yes.
What did change? Nothing. So yet, it's so different, right? Everybody who, obviously it's a new experience for everyone else who's gone along with Swami. So I think that Kodai is something that, yes, like you rightly put it, even for all students who dream of going to Kodai, very blessed few have gone. And why he picks us, we can never understand. But the Kodai trip that I went changed my life in the sense that it was at Kodai that Swami gave me further instructions on what I should do.
Okay.
And that was when he told me that it would be nice if you teach at Puttaparthi. You know, he gave me the option, supposedly gave me the option. And he said, it would be nice if you can teach at Puttaparthi. So, it was like a career counseling workshop, if you can say so.
Okay.
For a lot of us, for so many of our batchmates who came with us to Kodai, Swami had gave them all instructions as to one he said, go serve your parents. To another he said, go join a bank. To another he said, who was applying for IAS, he said, very happy, you should serve the country. So, it's more than just, I think on a talk show I would fall inadequately short of words if I try to explain what the magic of Kodai actually is. And we've heard so much about it, it can still be spoken about and it will still never be covered. So I don't think I should attempt more than this.
Maybe you should try to express your experience in Kodai through a bhajan or a song.
Okay. Well, I remember one bhajan which I sung twice in Kodai Kanal,
okay,
in that short period of 10 days.
Sure.
So I'll probably sing that.
Sure.
Giridhar Govinda Gopala Ghanashyam Nandalala Manmohana Madhusudana He Madhava Giridhar Govinda Gopala Ghanshyam Nandalala Damodara Janardhana Murali Satyanarayanaya Namo Sai Narayanaya Namo Satyanarayanaya Giridhar Govinda Gopala Ghanshyam Nandalala.
In the studios with me is Brother Siddhartha, a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, conversing about his journey with Sai and music, and we'll be right back with more stories after this short break.
Kanhaya teri bansi baje mere laal Is
Studios with me is Brother Siddhartha, a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, and today he's talking to us about his journey with Sai and music. Brother Siddhartha, you have narrated some really amazing experiences from your life. Now let's fast forward to the current times, and in the past 2 years after Swami's Mahasamadhi, you and two other brothers from here, Brother Amay and Brother Ravi, have gone to few places in India and abroad and given some workshop on bhajan singing.
Yes.
So let's talk about that. How did this whole bhajan workshop thing come about? What do you talk in this bhajan workshop? And what do you think are the important points that devotees need to keep in mind when they're singing bhajans?
Okay, there are a lot of questions. One go.
Let's start with the first question.
Okay. How it came about? I think there was a national conference on bhajans that was organized by the Satya Sai Seva organizations in Vrindavan in 2013. And one of the modules, they had some very illustrious singers, student singers like Sonam sir, Hariharan sir. They all conducted different sessions. And one of the modules that was handed to Ravi sir was Prashanti Mandir Bhajans. How you can recreate that experience wherever you sing bhajans. Basically to highlight the guidelines and instructions that Swami has shared with students on bhajan singing, and how if those instructions are adhered to, then how we can recreate the magic of Prashanti bhajans. So Ravi sir asked Amay and myself to join him in that, and that's how it just came about. And between the three of us, all three of us sing, and we sing together. If you've noticed, Ravi sir, Amay and me, we on you know, when evening bhajans, I sing with Ravi sir on one day and Amay sings with Ravi sir on the other day. And if Ravi sir doesn't come, then Amay and me sing. So in that sense, we have that little bit of a chemistry, and we know how we sing with each other. And add to that, Amay is an amazing orator.
Yes.
And
he's a great storyteller.
Yes, master storyteller, actually.
I remember when I was in my first PG, Amay was my room leader. He was in second PG. I think he was doing his... He was doing his MBA. He was my 1 year senior.
Yes.
And so every day during the study hour time, we would gather around Amay to hear his experiences and stories. Thankfully, no teacher caught us chatting that.
So Amay, like I was saying, Amay is a very good storyteller and orator, and he also plays the tabla very well.
Yes.
And they needed somebody who could assist.
Obviously,
if you have a harmonium, also it adds to that.
Yes.
So that's how it came about. So we did the workshop in Bangalore for the first time in 2013. And then we were called for a regional workshop in Delhi as well, subsequently. So that's how it came about. But to quote Mahendra Singh Dhoni,
okay.
who says that the result is never important, or the result is not all that you should worry about. You should worry about the process.
Yes.
Almost to draw a parallel from that. For me, the learning... More than actually doing the workshop, for me, it's the preparation for the workshop which really makes a lot of difference to me.
Yes.
Because imagine now, for example, you take somebody like Ravi sir, just to give a highlight, this is a very famous line of Amay, where he says, Ravi sir sang for the 60th birthday celebrations of Swami, and he's going to sing for the 90th birthday celebrations of Swami.
Wow.
So that's how much of experience and, direct guidance he has had. Number of years he's sung in front of Swami. And he has so many stories, Chandu. It doesn't all come out at one go. So when we sit for 2 weeks, leading up to the workshop, every night we would sit for a couple of hours. We would meet and we would sit for a couple of hours. Because the instructions are the same. Swami's instructions does not change.
Yes.
The incidents is what we would like to change.
Yes.
And the presentation itself, how differently we can package it. And in that process, when you start talking about Swami and when you start recollecting, Ravi sir, obviously, suddenly he would remember some story which happened. And we would have never heard of it. And he himself would start recollecting it with so much fondness. And there'll be such a nice insight that we could take from that and share with people. So for me, it's always the preparation for the workshops that personally I have enjoyed so much. It's not that I did not enjoy the workshop itself. Please don't get me wrong. But for me, it's the preparation which I look forward to so much. Because if you didn't have a workshop, then you don't really get together and sit, nights together and have these kind of satsangs.
Yes, yes.
So it's a very good excuse for us to come together. And, coming to the workshop itself, what we talk about, what we have spoken about, is we look at bhajan singing from the aspects of bhava, raga and tala.
Okay.
There are three most important components when you sing. The tune, the beat and the feel. So based on these three aspects, we recollect all the instructions that Swami has given, and we also share whatever learning we have had as bhajan singers. So some of the instructions that Swami has given, which I can recall top of my mind, is Swami's strict adherence to practice. Swami has said that you should not sing a bhajan unless you have practiced it 100 times. And he has a logic for that number. It's not a random number. He says that if you practice it for 25 times, then you know the lyrics by heart, the tune by heart.
Mm-hmm.
Then after you have practiced for 50 times, you know the lyrics and the tune. You don't need to refer to the lyrics and the tune. And you even know the meaning of the bhajan, what it means and what kind of mood you're praying to. After you've finished practicing for 75 times, he says you're not bothered about the meaning also. You're almost one with the bhajan.
The meaning, it has gone to your subconscious mind.
You're feeling the bhajan when you sing it. And he says when you've practiced it 100 times and then when you sing, you're just one with the bhajan. There is no you, there is no bhajan. It's not you delivering the bhajan. The bhajan just comes out from you. Because it's just in you. It just comes out from you. And I feel that is the difference. Practice is what makes the difference between singers and singers. Right? Because there are some singers, not to take names, there are some singers, there are so many, I'm sure, whom if we hear them sing, they definitely, the moment they start singing, it does something to you. You could get goosebumps, you could start crying. You don't know what is happening to you. You feel a chill down your spine. Why? Because I think it's got to do with the fact that they have put in that much effort and riyaz. In fact, I recall another quote I don't remember the musician, but I think the quote is what is important. He says, a professional musician, he says, if I don't practice for a day, I know it. If I don't practice for 3 days, my manager knows it. If I don't practice for a week, my audience knows it.
Yes.
Right? So that's how important music practice is. And Swami also has laid so much of emphasis on that. Recollecting practice. I heard this from the brother who taught Swami the bhajan Hari Bhajan Bina Sukha Shanti Nahi.
Wow.
Swami apparently learnt it from a student.
Wonderful.
Okay. And look at the humility of Swami. He would call this brother regularly into the interview room and make him sing, and Swami would follow and learn the bhajan.
Yes.
And then he asked his brother to sing it during the bhajans.
Okay.
So Swami gets a feel of it during the bhajans.
Yes.
And I believe it was almost something like 6 to 8 months before Swami started singing it after the discourse.
Wow. Okay.
So that's the example that he leads us with, you know. And these are the things that top of mind which I can recall. Another is punctuality.
Yes.
How Swami has said that when you chant the first om before the commencement of bhajans, I have got up from wherever I am. When you're chanting the second om, I'm on my way. And when you chant the third om, I'm seated on the throne.
Okay.
So how important it is for us to not enter bhajans after Omkaram has started. Because it's like Swami has come and sat and you're coming and sitting after him.
Yes.
So I think punctuality is something that we like to stress, because Swami has laid so much of emphasis on that. And discipline, of course, during the bhajans. And how to prepare a bhajan list, for example.
Okay.
Because Swami says that if you're singing 7 bhajans, we know that we start with Ganesh. Swami says you should sing 1 Devi, 1 Shiva, 1 Vittala, 1 Krishna, 1 Rama, 1 Narayana. Because you don't know who in the audience, who in amongst the devotees gathered, which God is a favorite for whom.
Correct.
But when you sing his God, he's obviously going to be able to feel connected faster.
Yes, yes.
So he says you should include all gods and sing. So these are, you know, like these, these are the tips that we share. Of course, for the listeners who are interested, who haven't yet seen, you could YouTube the Sai Bhajan workshop, both at Delhi and at Bangalore. Of course, the one at Bangalore is even more comprehensive because it has so many other speakers whose lists will also pop up.
So wonderful. So maybe we can take a musical break by you singing a bhajan.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Hari Narayana, Hari Narayana, Hari Narayana, Sai Narayana, Hari Narayana, Hari Narayana, Hari Narayana, Hari Narayana, Jaya Hari Narayana, Narayana, Jaya Sai Narayana, Narayana, Hari Narayana, Hari Narayana.
Let's do one more. Maybe can you do a song, if you are ready with a song?
A song? No. Okay. I don't know.
Maybe let's do another bhajan. Sure. Let's do another bhajan.
Another bhajan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jaya Jaya Raghunandana, Jaya Janaki Jeevana, Sharanagat Palana, Jaya Jagadodharana, Rajiva Dalalochana, Jaya Jagadanandana, Rajadiraja Ramachandra, Sai Jagavandana, Rajadiraja Ramachandra, Sai Jagavandana. jaya jaya raghunandana jaya janaki jeevana.
So brother Siddhartha, now looking back in 2011 when Swami left his physical frame, how did he cope up with that? Because especially for bhajan singers, you all sat right in front of Swami every day and sang bhajans looking at his physical frame, and one fine day he was not there on that chair physically. So how did you cope up with that?
Well, I don't know. I can't say that I have coped, but I wouldn't say that I have not coped, because I think Swami trained us like he trained us for so many things, Chandu. I think he also trained us to the fact that there is going to be a chair where he will not be seated on it. Because if you recall, when he slowly stopped coming for morning bhajans, the indication that Swami was not coming would be that a chair would be brought from the bhajan hall and placed in the veranda, and then aarti would be taken.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
So, in a sense, he has gotten us used to the fact that there will be a chair one day which you will take aarti to in Prashanti Nilayam. So, be ready for that. So, in that sense, I think he did his best to help us to be prepared with that.
Yes.
And for someone like me who has also, I think, a large number of devotees who have not been at Prashanti Nilayam, who are elsewhere in the world, for us, it's always the chair that has been there in our respective Sai centers or samitis. So we always believe that he is there on that chair. So I don't think that has changed at all for me. And so if you look at Prashanti Nilayam, like how the chair is kept, and then if Swami was coming, he would just come and sit. Now, for example, take the bhajan hall itself. There were so many days when the chair would be there, would be empty till Swami came and sat on it.
Yes, yes.
So I still believe, you know, I still pray and I still wait for the day when we are doing bhajan, suddenly the interview room door opens. So I know it sounds magical, surreal, imaginative, creative, but you don't know.
Yes.
So
you
believe that he is there, right there, listening, and he is, Chandu. I am very, very sure of that. And I know that there's always a right time for him to do what he intends to do. And it's not for in our judgment to try to understand that.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, when I was a student, I just digress a little.
Sure.
I had a batchmate who was a regular mandir singer and who was one of Swami's favorite singers at that time. And the two of us would have our breakfast together in hostel. We would get ready and then we would walk towards college. And he would walk with me from hostel to college. And at that point near the high school gate, he would walk ahead because he had permission from Swami to go for morning bhajans. Swami had asked him to come for morning bhajans. And I would be so irritated to cross the road and go to college. And at that time, you know, I used to pray so much, saying, Swami, just give me also permission. Why don't you call me? Why don't you just send word for me? I'm also a mandir singer. I also sing bhajans. So call me one day. And it was always a deep desire for me that when everybody is going to college, you should be going to mandir. Today, Chandu, I have that opportunity because we all come and participate in morning bhajans also if we don't have classes in the university.
Yes.
So I don't have classes at least a couple of days in a week in the first hour. If I don't have a first hour class, I can come for bhajans in mandir.
And it is the same for you as when Swami was there and now. It is the same for you.
Absolutely.
Coming for morning bhajans.
Absolutely. Coming for morning bhajans, even today, it's such a thrill for me to come for morning bhajans.
Great.
Probably because that yearning was so deep back then.
Yes.
And I really pray and hope that that yearning remains, that yearning to come for morning bhajans, because I don't think there can be a better way to start a day than coming to mandir and singing bhajans. Because some days, you know, when bhajans end in such a crescendo, like for example this morning, you get up at 9:35 and you go to college with so much of energy.
Yes, very true.
Because, you know, you just have been pumped up by the Lord's name, and what better thing to give you energy to last the whole day. So in that way, I think that he's still answering prayers.
Yes.
When I go for morning bhajans, you know, he's answered a prayer of mine. It's just that he chose when he wanted to answer it. But if I really prayed for only that, it does not matter when. What matters is that my prayer has been answered.
Yes, yes, yes.
So there is no coping with it. Obviously, we do miss that Swami sitting in front of us, closing his eyes and doing those mudras and keeping beat and encouraging us to sing another speed. Yes, all that definitely is there. But then I think if you close your eyes, you can't make out whether he is there or not.
No, that's very true.
So if you close your eyes and sing, I know I'm going against exactly what I had said earlier, but now today, if I close my eyes and sing, it does not make a difference whether I can see him on the chair or not. Because I know he's watching.
Yes, yes.
And I would just narrate another incident to reaffirm my own faith in this, that he is listening. This happened last year, yes, in the summer of 2014. After the Aradhana Day Mahotsava, I had booked my tickets to go back to Chennai. And I reached Chennai on 24th evening. I was due to come back on the 1st of May for a week to Puttaparthi because we had some of the brothers of the Bhajan group traveling out of Puttaparthi. So there would have been a little scarcity of singers. So I said that I had volunteered to come for that particular week,
okay,
1st of May to 8th of May. So in between, I thought 5 days, 25 to 30, I can be in Chennai. And I had reached on 24th evening. 25th afternoon, I'm having a nap and I have a dream. And in my dream, Swami has just taken Aarti and he is getting up and going and I am trying to get his attention. Trying to, you know, lift myself up so that he understands that there is something that I want to tell him. And he noticed me and he called me and he said, "What is it?" And I'm telling Swami, "I want to go home. I'll go home and come back." I said, "Vellostan, Swami, intiki vellostan." And Swami says, "Entuku? Why?" I said, "Amma nana pilustunaru. Parents are calling me home."
Yes.
"Eppudu vastavu?" he said. I said, 4 or 5 days lopala vastan, Swami. Because it factually was right. You know,
correct.
30th I was due to come back.
Yes.
So I'll come back in 4 or 5 days. And then he gave me one stern look and he said, "Avanni akkarledu. All that is not required. Mooskoni ikade undu. Just shut your mouth and sit here."
Okay.
Okay. And I woke up. And I woke up in Chennai.
Okay.
Okay. And here I am. Denied permission to go out of Prashanthinilayam. One day after I've left Prashanthinilayam.
Yes.
So I woke up in a total fix. I didn't understand, what do I do now? Now it's very clear that Swami has told me, sit in Prashanthinilayam. But this he has told me 24 hours too late. I've just reached Chennai. So I went and shared this dream with my mom. And I told her this is what it is. I'm going to go back to Parthi. For the summer. I'm going to stay in Patti for the summer. She was a little upset, of course, because I'd just come home one day, you know, I just reached the previous evening and she said, "What is this, your whole summer vacation?" I said, "No, I don't think you can also tell me how else do I react to this. I'm very clear that this is what Swami wants me to do. I'm going ahead." So, but then I was confused whether I should leave immediately or I leave on 30th.
Okay.
So then I went to the altar and I prayed to Swami. I said, "Swami, if you had told me this on 24th morning, Swami, I would have cancelled my tickets and never left Parthi. Now I've come to Chennai and now you're telling me this. I assume that you're allowing me to stay here till 30th.
Okay.
I'll come on 30th. I'll cancel my return tickets for the 8th.
Okay.
I cancel my return tickets for the 8th immediately.
Okay.
I said, "I've cancelled my return. I'm not coming back. But I will come on 30th if that's okay with you.
Okay.
If you want me earlier than 30th, come in my dream one more time and tell me leave now."
Okay.
And I'm ready to leave.
Okay.
So he didn't, of course. So I left on 30th and I was here for the whole summer. I did nothing. I sang in the morning, I sang in the evening. Nothing, even if you're expecting that, you know, after having come back here, Swami came in my dream and said something untoward was to happen, got saved. No, nothing of that sort.
Yes.
But just that he wanted me here. And even then, you know, even now when I go back for my vacations, I find it so difficult to stay away from Prashanthinilayam and Mandir Bhajans. Even if you go for 4 days or 5 days, it's so difficult because it's so much a part of your daily routine. It's so much a part of you. And, you know, it's quite difficult to be away from it. So I don't think, I mean, if Swami physically present or absent doesn't make a difference because he wants us here and he wants us here to be doing bhajans. And I don't think I would want to be in any other part of the world doing anything else.
Wonderful. So Siddhartha, it's been an absolute pleasure for me talking to you today. I'm sure even the listeners enjoyed this conversation a lot. As we're running out of time, I'm forced to stop our conversation
absolutely
right now here.
Thank you so much, Chandu, for having me over. And like I said, you know, when you come up on such occasions is when you really reflect on what you've been doing and what you do.
Great, great.
And what you love doing. So thank you so much.
You know, we started off this program by talking about how you started learning bhajan from that cassette, one cassette that yes. the brother gave you, Sai brother gave you yes. of Ravi Sir's bhajans. Yes. And possibly we could end with that. I have another bhajan here from that cassette, Raghupati Raghava, and let's end this program with that bhajan. And dear listeners, stay tuned because after this we will have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Chari.
Raghupati Raghav Raja Raghupati Raghav Raja Raghupati Raghav Raja Raghupati पावन सीतारा पतित पावन सीतारा